Nadine comes from Jamaica, and she is a poet, an author, and a singer. And she's been involved with the Citizenship and Immigration Canada, and much of her time is taken performing and readings at various locations, at Queen's Park, in school classes, and on radio and television. And I'm not quite sure what she's going to share with us today, but it could be poetry, it could be song. We'll see what she has.
Thank you very much, Nancy. Good night, everyone. I am the immigrant child, born and bred on the fingers of bananas, backs of chickens, heads of goats, tails of pigs, livers, tripes, and kidneys of cows. The immigrant child whose forefathers hoarded their monies to ensure that on September mornings there would be no bawling, since I, like the rest, could stand with the best and big up my chest and proudly tell the teachers good morning. Yes, I am the immigrant child whose very large family shared two bedrooms and one veranda, who fumbled with bottle torches at nights to find the toilets. And though I may reside in 4 and 5 bedroom houses with en-suites attached, you know there was a time when I had roofs that were thatched and patched to keep the waters at bay. Hey! Hey! Hey, hear me when I say, I am the immigrant child who has embarked upon a land of promise, a land foretold many years ago, a land where milk and honey flows, the immigrant child whose migration and subsequent integration has made me a proud Canadian, entitled to all that the shores of Nova Scotia, Manitoba, British Columbia, Newfoundland, and Labrador has in store. As much sap as my tongue can lap from the bark of the maple trees, while mastering as many degrees as my tuition fees deems feasible. I am the immigrant child, destined to fulfill the goodwill of those that sent me, those who themselves knew not this land of promise. I am the immigrant child whose rich heritage oozes from my pores as I try to ensure that the doors of these great memories are opened wide to impart a sense of humility and pride while being a guide to this generation and the generations after that. I am the immigrant child, born and bred on the fingers of bananas, backs of chickens, heads of goats, tails of pigs, livers, tripes, and kidneys of cows. And I am the immigrant child who will die humbly holding dear the heart of the breadfruit, the immigrant child. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're kind. I stand before you guys proudly tonight as a proud Jamaican. My mother was the first of 12 siblings to leave the island. My grandfather worked on a sugarcane plantation in Jamaica. That's as close as I get to the ancient past. And he would tell us stories. I don't recall much of them right now, so please forgive me about that. What I can tell you, though, is my mom left me as a baby with my grandparents. My grandfather had an uncle that lived in another parish in Jamaica, an adjoining parish, and he traveled quite frequently to England. So back in the days, and let me think now, this was 60s and 70s, there was freedom of travel between the Caribbean and England. And so my uncle, Obi, or Obadiah, he, I would say, kind of adopted my mom, because the two bedrooms and one veranda was full. So my mom stayed for quite a while with my uncle, and through that relationship, she came to Canada. So I didn't know her at all. She left me as a baby. She came back and forth, but I had no recollection of her until my brother and I joined her when I was 15 years old. It was quite the experience. She did not have the freedom of travel, not unlike quite a number of families that came up at the time. She always says to me, you know, that Trudeau gave us freedom, whatever that means. And in fact, I remember writing a poem to Justin Trudeau, which I hope to one day read to him, just recalling stories that my mom would talk about our my mom and his dad. In any case, so my brother and I came here when I was 15 years old, a very strange time for me as a teenager, you guys can well imagine, integrating into Canadian society and schools. I joined things like the choir and the drama club, things like that that helped me. I was joking to the kids today, or recalling to the kids today at a school, that I stood out very much when I started grade 9, in that I was very tall. I had legs up to here and was very skinny. And I would wear my mom's long dresses to school. I quickly learned that was not the way to dress. And I acquired the name Nerdine because I was very strange in terms of fitting in. But I have done very well. I'm very proud of who I am today and the journey. It's been a hard road to travel, let me tell you. I have self-published 4 books, 3 poetry and 1 children's book, and I'm quickly going to share snippets from each of the books. The first one is the culmination of marriage between me and my pen. We were socialized in church growing up in Jamaica, and it was no different when we came here to Canada. I started to go, church was where my life was, which is really awesome. I thank God for that. Otherwise, I'm sure I would have gotten into all sorts of trouble. But, you know, Wednesday night was Bible studies. Friday night was youth night. Saturday night was prayer meeting. And then Sunday morning and night. You get the idea. But what happened to me as a young woman is I started dating. And in church, in the West Indian church that, or West Indian, the pastor was a kind of an old-fashioned Jamaican pastor, and us and maybe I'd say about 20 other couples were ushered to the altar very shortly after starting to date, and it didn't end too well for me. I have 3 beautiful children, and I am grateful to God for them, because I have a lot of friends who are pushing 50 and they don't have kids, so I thank God every day for my blessings. They are tall and beautiful children. However, I've done it solo their entire lives. I was a customer service supervisor at Trent Health Insurance, doing very well. Managed to buy a house as a single mom. My house sat on a ravine with deers. I remember one Christmas we had deers running through the backyard. But what was happening as a supervisor, I'd be the first one in the office and one of the last ones to leave. At the same time, I had 3 kids in Northeast Brampton that were carrying keys around their necks. And so something had to give. I was tired of running after the GO train and microwave dinners. You get the idea. I walked away from all of it, and sacrificially, let me tell you, I gave up the house, gave up the car. Because of that, the kids, the poem, The Immigrant Child, in October 2009, I was coming from Walmart. My kids would not be seen with grocery bags walking, you know, because they're accustomed. I'm accustomed to, I grew up in Jamaica, in rural country Jamaica, with kerosene lamps and all of this, and outhouses. But they were kids that were accustomed to coming out of Walmart and putting the bags in the trunk. And so they wouldn't be seen. And I remember coming home this Sunday afternoon in October 2009, and the bus in Brampton just went by. I just missed it. So in October, it's a little nippy, yeah? But I always have a notepad and pen, because writing had become my therapy. It started with things like, you know, as I watched their angelic faces settle into their places, I think, oh my God, is this my life? Because to put this in context, I was spoiled, kind of rotten as a child growing up in Jamaica. Because imagine this, my mom is gone, and she's the only one sending back. We were like barrel babies. In the summertime, barrels would come, and although we lived poor in the country, I was the only one in a bathing suit in the river where other people were wearing underwears. I would never walk barefoot to school. I'd always have, because my mom would always send. So I had a very pampered life. So I just remember crossing the street, having just missed the bus, And just the my grandfather's voice. My grandmother was kind of like the breadwinner in that she would go out quite a bit to bring back in stuff. My grandfather was a farmer, and he would be at the homebody. Very kind of reverse in those roles. My grandmother was very strong. But I remember his voice, you know, you're going to that land of milk and honey. And you all know what milk and honey opportunity, right? That whole preparation, this Canada. So I felt the hardship that fall evening as the bus left, and I'm thinking, you got to make something of yourself, Nadine, all these sacrifices you got to do. So when I put on the grocery bags, and I just took out my notepad and pen and wrote The Immigrant Child, and by the time the bus came, it was done. And that poem, it's, wouldn't y'all agree? It's one of those special, very, very special poems. But in any case, I'm going to read a couple other things. How I Knew I Was Onto Something. My children and I, most of the children, for me, writing was my therapy. Peel Children's Center supported them through counseling, children, you know, from divorced families and all of this. And they had a celebratory event, kind of like this, families that utilize the service. And the social worker, of course, they know that because that's my therapy. And I'm very much an extrovert. When I write something, I'm like, oh, this is so good, I have to share it. So they offered me the opportunity to read it that evening. And let me tell you, that was my first public thing. And when I did it, there were weeping women hugging me. And I knew I was onto something. And it has, let me tell you, it has just... It has, but it's a lot. I still take the bus, and I'm okay with that. It's a lot, well, for now. it's a lot of sacrifice. But the poem I read, it's called The Question. I'm not here to talk about my childbearing hips, the Afrocentricity of my lips, or the curvature of my spine that gives way to my amply round behind. No, not this time. I simply have this burning question that I'm compelled to ask. When will you get it? After they've grown? Don't you know by then it really could be too late? They would have already learned how to read and write, would have ridden their first bike, and maybe they've even had their first date. It really is a shame, you know. Do you even realize what you're missing? The tranquility of sleep on tiny faces after they've run until they've covered all their bases. The parent-teacher's meetings, the family doctor's greetings, the reminders of the last dental visit while refusing the countless requests for one more trek on Halloween night. What pride it is to watch them walk Convocation Hall on graduation night, knowing that you've toiled and often cried to get them to this very place. It's also at this time that you pause and reflect on the vast number of families who will never experience this moment for countless reasons. After whispering a prayer for those families, you quickly get back to the moment at hand. And with a huge sigh of relief, you fixate your eyes on those brilliant pearly whites shining at you. A warm feeling envelops your heart, and you hold back the tears as they start to flow. Now bear with me just a while longer while I take you ahead to another milestone, adding icing to the cake, or should I say, the crescendo in a musical note. Imagine for a moment their wedding day. Will you be there beaming with pride as they walk down the aisle, or will you be off in a drunken stupor, drowning your pitiful remorse on your 10th glass? The Question. Thank you. And that came, the culmination of marriage between me and my pen was my first title. And it was just a bunch of scribblings that I had over the years. And people kept saying, oh, Nadine, you're so talented. You got to do something. And so the idea is that with every great relationship, you build it and then you culminate it in marriage. At the time, I didn't realize that it probably had a little bit to do with my marriage falling apart. But nonetheless, I'm married to my pen and I'm very happy. I continued with this pen, I Do Tell. Yes, continually. My son brought home a mutt. I call him a mutt. Where I'm from in Jamaica, we're not accustomed to dogs being inside, so I'm still adjusting. He chewed up my last book. the last poetry book is called Pen on Fire. So these two books, it contained a lot of healing type pieces. This one contains The Immigrant Child and a lot more. I moved away from, I'm fully healed by now. So the writing in this one is, that's why you don't see the whole marriage in this title. And then a children's book. I found a heart-shaped rock and grew a fascination. I still collect it to this day. And what's amazing is a lot of kids actually collect things. In fact, in my bag, I have a cap for a toque from one of the schools I went to today. I love to collect things. I was going to share memories of my papa. You guys have to help me with time. I know you'll come. Memories of Papa. This is from Pen on Fire. Papa was a reading man, raising a huge family in a small country house, namely two bedrooms, a hall, and a veranda. Mama was a traveling soul, traveling winding roads on rickety rundown buses to provide for the household. Papa held it down, though, while Mama traveled, sometimes for days on end seeking our next morsel. Papa never did tire, though he was long gone past his day to retire. A simple man if you looked at him with the naked eye. But I saw a wise man when I looked back in retrospect, a distinguished gentleman, always princely robed as though he was expecting company. And who knows, maybe he was, since he always did leave a portion of his dinner covered up just in case. Papa was a reading man, the first man I have ever loved, a gentleman, a God-fearing man, who sat on the veranda with his doting grandbabies at his feet while he read, mostly Psalms. Papa taught me the importance of reading as a wee tot. And now that I am old, I shall not depart from the wisdom of my papa. For my papa was a reading man. God rest his soul. And I didn't see her get up just yet. While you spoke of Matthew Da Costa, I was invited. This journey, it's taken me on some amazing. And when I end, I will sing a song to share with you guys the amazing journey. I was invited to the federal government reception where I shook hands with our prime minister. I was like, bonjour, bonjour. I was so frightened. But in any case, Matthew Da Costa is the new stamp. The Canada Post Black History Month stamp was unveiled, and I have my little keepsake right here. And I'm able to share that information with kids when I visit. The plans. The word of the Lord declares, this is from With This Pen I Do Tell, I know the plans I have for you, and I know that you know them too, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Your parents may look you in the eyes and say, I know the plans I have for you, my child, plans to hold you ever so tight and never let you go. Your friends may search deep in their hearts only to find these words, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to harm you and not to see you through. Your spouse may whisper in your ears and say, I know the plans I have for you. And tonight, when I hold you oh so tight, everything will be all right. And you'll never ever want to let me go. Never ever want to let me go. I know the plans I have for us to be ever faithful and true to you. Work really hard, comes what may, and fully realize our dreams. Work really hard, comes what may, never give up, and fully realize our dreams. And I'm just going to, as hoarse as my voice is, I'm going to end my little talk with you guys by sharing one of my favorite hymns that goes like this. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see, all I have needed, thine hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thine hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I love that man from Galilee. I love that man. Thank you.